Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 461, update on September 11th and related matters. This is being recorded on May 23rd of the year 2004. Before getting into the main body of the broadcast, be aware that there will be a detailed, annotated article-length description of For the Record 461 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire List is one word. Sister station WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, DaveEmory. Older programs are available for download only, also on Real Audio, at a longer URL linked to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Be aware that the Spitfire descriptions, the For the Record descriptions, often have information that was not included in the original broadcasts for reasons of time. Be aware also that the Spitfire website is equipped with a search function, so you can look for items in the annotated descriptions, and also now, happily, the landmark text, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, by the late heroic Paul Manning, is available for download for free on the Spitfire website, and listeners are strongly encouraged to do that. The file is partially in Adobe Acrobat and partially in HTML. It is being converted to HTML to save bandwidth, but please take advantage of that situation. Now, as indicated, obviously, by the title of the program, we're going to be updating matters dealing with September 11th and related issues. And in particular, there's going to be a heavy focus on the financing of terrorism. In my opinion, the single most important thing with regard to September 11th concerns the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, 2002. Those exposed, among other things, the apparent Al-Qaeda funding apparatus. There were a series of raids in the Virginia and Maryland Beltway area around Washington, D.C., that not only targeted elements associated with the Bush administration and the Republican Party, but also that same milieu also heavily overlaps the milieu of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Bank al-Taqwa. And Bank al-Taqwa, in turn, has areas of historical and political overlap with the Third Reich in its above-ground and underground manifestations. One of the things we're going to take a look at right now concerns a report from the Portugal News, an English-language weekend newspaper out of, obviously, Portugal. This concerns a recent meeting of the Carlyle Group, one of the largest private equity firms in the world, and one that relies on very weighty political influence, including the participation by former political heavyweights from the United Kingdom and the United States. Carlyle Group has very strong connections to the Bush administration, to the Bush family, and also to wealthy Saudis, including and especially the Bin Laden family. What we're going to be checking out in this article, in addition to reviewing some of the areas of overlap between the Bush administration and the Bush family and the power elites of the Saudi and the Middle Eastern oil-producing kingdoms, and that concerns an allegation that one of the items that was on the agenda for the Carlyle Group meeting in Lisbon that took place was the continued financing of Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda organization by the Saudi bin Laden Group or Saudi bin Laden Corporation. There have been a number of accounts in books and newspaper articles that the bin Laden family rather had continued its association with Osama, disclaimers to the contrary notwithstanding, and that members of the bin Laden family were involved in terrorism, aside from Osama bin Laden, who obviously is the nominal head of al-Qaeda. There have been heated denials and lawsuits filed in connection with some of these allegations. This would appear to support those allegations that, in fact, the very powerful bin Laden business empire was continuing to support, to a certain extent, the activities of Osama, its allegedly estranged scion, and the activities of al-Qaeda and related institutions. Research credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This is from the Portugal News of April 4th, 2003, and describing the Carlyle Group and some of its luminaries, the article reads, skipping down, "The group is managed by a team of former U.S. government personnel, including its president, Frank Carlucci, former deputy director of the CIA before becoming defense secretary. His deputy is James Baker II, who was Secretary of State under George Bush Sr. Several high-profile former politicians are employed to represent the company overseas, among them John Major, former British Prime Minister, along with George Bush Sr., one-time CIA director before becoming U.S. President. The financial assets of the Saudi Bin Laden Corporation, or SBC, are also managed by the Carlyle Group. The SBC is headed up by members of Osama bin Laden's family, who played a principal role in helping George W. Bush in win petroleum concessions from Bahrain when he was head of the Texas oil company Harkin Energy Corporation, a deal that was to make the Bush family millions of dollars. Salem, Osama bin Laden's brother, was represented on Harkin's board of directors by his American agent, James R. Bath. The connection between the Bush and bin Laden families can also be traced to the collapse of the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI, in the 1990s. Members of the Anglo-Pakistani Bank's board of directors included Richard Helms and William Casey, business partners of George Bush Sr. and former CIA agents. During their time at BCCI, both Helms and Casey worked alongside another fellow director, Adnan Khashoggi, who also represented the bin Laden family's interests in the United States. By the way, the main bin Laden-connected BCCI and Harkin person was Abdullah Baksh, in turn a protege of Gayit Faron of the BCCI, and Abdullah Baksh maneuvered his protege, Talat Atman, onto the board of Harkin Energy. Talat Atman was a close associate of George Bush and interceded with then-Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill on behalf of the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002. We've spoken about those in many broadcasts, including For the Record 356, 357, 415, and 454. Now, of the allegation that the Carlyle Group is going to be discussing continued funding of bin Laden's terrorist activities by the Saudi bin Laden Group, or Saudi bin Laden Corporation, as it translates here from the Portuguese, we read as follows. The Portugal News has been told by a reliable source that the Carlyle Group meeting in Lisbon will discuss the relationship between the Saudi bin Laden Corporation and Osama bin Laden. Many U.S. officials claim that the Saudi bin Laden Group continues to finance his political activities and has done so for many years. If true, this would place George Bush Sr. and his colleagues at the Carlyle Group in an embarrassing position. As managers of SBC's financial investments, they might well be accused of indirectly aiding and abetting the United States' number one enemy. And there is a fair amount of information in that regard. More now about Operation Green Quest. This is from the Wall Street Journal of April 26th of 2004, an article by Glenn R. Simpson, who's done some great work covering the Operation Green Quest story for the Wall Street Journal. This is datelined Gainesville, Georgia, and it's headlined, U.S. to seek charges in terror probe. It reads in part as follows and details allegations against the very powerful Al-Raji family of Saudi Arabia, one of the powerful Saudi elite families that is implicated in the activities that were targeted by the Green Quest raids. Federal prosecutors plan to seek indictments in the next 6 to 12 months of a group of prominent Muslim businessmen who were at the center of the U.S. government's largest domestic investigation into the financing of terrorism. In an unusual hearing sought by lawyers for the businessmen, a federal judge pressed prosecutor Gordon Cromberg to spell out the Justice Department's plans. The wealthy Islamic activists are involved in a group of commonly controlled businesses and charities in Herndon, Virginia, that allegedly has financial links to the Al-Raji banking empire of Saudi Arabia. Former federal officials allege that Al-Raji Banking and Investment Corporation has links to the financing of terrorists. The bank has denied the allegation. Mr. Cromberg told the court that he expects to ask a grand jury to hand up charges, possibly involving a racketeering conspiracy. We think we have a good case, and we are going to bring it, unquote, Mr. Cromberg said. Since the mid-1990s, the U.S. government has conducted an on-and-off investigation into whether the charities support terrorist groups such as Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Al-Qaeda. Some figures in the Herndon Group have been prominent politically in Washington, and several are affiliated with a worldwide society called the Muslim Brotherhood that has ideological links to terrorist groups. Well, it is in that milieu, the Operation Green Quest raids, that one finds the intersection between the GOP, the Bush administration, the Saudi and Middle Eastern oil-producing power elites, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Taqwa, Al-Qaeda, and in the background, as I've indicated, the underground Reich. In the recent book, House of Bush, House of Saud, by Craig Unger, there's an interesting point of information brought up, and that is that federal agents in Tampa, Florida, had allegedly mistakenly destroyed some documentation with regard to Sami Al-Arian. Sami Al-Arian is an alleged member of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, also close to the Bush administration, and it was the documentation produced by a lawsuit against Sami Al-Arian that led to the Operation Green Quest raids. I neglected to bring the book with me, and so I will include that piece of text from Craig Unger's House of Bush, House of Saud in the written description for the Record Program 461. As I've editorialized before, I think that the Operation Green Quest raids are the single most important and also the single most electorally marketable piece of information to come out of the September 11th attacks. As former Bush speechwriter David Frum, now working for Buckley's National Review, noted in Craig Unger's book House of Bush and House of Saud, it's a good thing for the Republicans that the Democrats are too PC to attack this demonstrable link between the Republicans and people close to George Bush and elements apparently involved with the funding of Al-Qaeda. It's huge. It could go a great way, go a long way towards assuring George Bush's election defeat, but don't expect the Democrats to bring that out of the woodwork. And in particular, the so-called progressive sector has been actively defensive of those interests. Another article by Glenn Simpson about Operation Green Quest and related matters. This also from the Wall Street Journal. This is from the Wall Street Journal of April 29th of 2004. Again by Glenn R. Simpson. This datelined Washington, D.C. This is headlined, Senator Requests 9/11 Panel Probe of Saudis and Banks. It reads in part, the Senate Finance Committee has asked the 911 Commission to look into transactions totaling tens of millions of dollars at two U.S. banks by Saudi Arabian diplomats. The senator is Charles R. Grassley. The bank is at the Fleet Boston and Riggs National Bank. Riggs has already been fined for its activities in this regard. By the way, one of the directors of Riggs Bank is Jonathan Bush, George W.'s uncle. Yet another of the structural economic relationships between the Bush family, the petroleum industry, and the Saudi elite and the elites of other Middle Eastern oil-producing kingdoms. And those structural economic relationships have served as a huge complicating factor in not only blocking the active investigation of Al-Qaeda, but also I suspect that those links are firm indications that those links were one of the things that enabled Al-Qaeda's activities to proceed forward. Because these links were relationships that affected the financial largesse and prestige of the Bush family, the word went down from on high, keep your hands off, and this permitted Al-Qaeda to go ahead with its activities. Not altogether to the dismay of the Bush administration, I would add. They have benefited concretely from this, although the country as a whole has been done in. The U.S. has not benefited from September 11th, but some of the interests close to the Bush administration have, and I think that the Bush administration has managed to escape the scrutiny to which they would have been subjected otherwise, and that has benefited them tremendously, because obviously a lot of attention has been focused on September 11th. Skipping down in this Wall Street Journal article by Glenn Simpson, April 29th, 2004, more about Senator Grassley's comments. The Saudi donations of concern to Senator Grassley include payments through Riggs Bank to the American Muslim Council of Alexandria, Virginia, two people involved in the matter said. The council's former president, Abdurrahman Alamoudi, is currently jailed on charges of violating terrorism sanctions. Details of the flight training payments couldn't be learned. And the American Muslim Council and the milieu around that is part of the milieu that overlaps the targets of the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids. In For the Record programs 433 and 435, we took a look specifically at Abdurrahman Alamoudi's links to Youssef Nada, Ahmed Idris Nasruddin, and the bank Altaqua. So once again, the milieu being investigated here, or of concern to Senator Grassley, is the milieu of the Operation Green Quest raids, the Wahhabi lobby in Washington, D.C. It overlaps the Bush administration and the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, and the underground Reich in the background, with people like former Third Reich intelligence agent Youssef Nada at the head of Bank Altaqua. In the recent book, The Price of Loyalty, by Ron Suskind, dealing with former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, under whose auspices the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th, 2002 were conducted by the then Treasury Department-controlled Customs Department, we find the following, that is to say, in the book Price of Loyalty, about Bank Altaqua. Altaqua was an association of offshore banks and financial management firms that had helped Al-Qaeda shift money around the world. It was based in the Bahamas, and virtually all of the known money of Al-Qaeda at that point, $20 million, was housed there. It was identified thanks to a break that was anything but exotic. A Bahamian banking official simply blew the whistle on the group. Internal Treasury documents estimated that another $80 to $100 million of Al-Qaeda funds was tucked into other undetected accounts around the globe. By the way, that's Altaqua, Bahamas. Altaqua's central office is in Lugano, Switzerland. There was a recent update in the electronic, the online version of Newsweek magazine. This is by Mark Hosenball and Michael Isikoff, and it's titled Paying for Terror, and this is from March 12th of 2002. It reads in part, a Bahamian bank controlled by a controversial Islamic financier in Switzerland set up a highly secretive line of credit for a top associate of Osama bin Laden as part of an elaborate scheme to finance attacks by Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations, according to a newly disclosed U.S. Treasury document. In a January 2002 letter to Swiss authorities, a senior Treasury official privately spelled out the U.S. government's case that the Bahamian bank, one arm of an international financial network known as Altaqua, had a lengthy history of financing and facilitating the activities of terrorists, including providing millions of dollars in funding for Al-Qaeda and Hamas. The Treasury letter, and another one involving Saudi businessman Yassin A. Qadi, provide a revealing new window into the murky world of terror finance, at least as viewed by U.S. counterterrorism officials. Based largely on secret intelligence sources, the Treasury documents attempt to show how Qadi and Altaqua and its founder, Youssef M. Nada, used concealed bank accounts, complex land deals, and other hard-to-trace methods to steer large sums of money to terrorists. The letters were recently obtained by Ron Motley, the lead lawyer in a massive lawsuit against Saudi business figures and others accused of complicity in the financing of the September 11th attacks. In a little-noticed court filing on Monday, Motley placed the documents in the public record, a move that seemed to startle at least one defense lawyer who noted that such private government-to-government communications are almost never made public. The letters were written by Treasury in an effort to persuade the Swiss to take legal action to shut down the operations of suspect organizations. The most significant of the letters involves Altaqua and its founder, Nada, an Egyptian-born businessman based in Switzerland who has long been a prominent figure in the world of Islamic finance and who has consistently denied any involvement in the financing of terrorism. Skipping down. In the letter, dated January 4, 2002, George B. Wolfe, then Treasury's Deputy General Counsel, tells Switzerland's Deputy Chief Federal Prosecutor, Claude Nicotti, that money pours into branch offices of the Altaqua Network in Lugano and Malta from Kuwait and the United Arab Emirates for bin Laden. It alleges that as late as September of 2001, Nada and a business associate, Ali bin Musalim, provided indirect investment services for Al-Qaeda, investing funds for bin Laden and making cash deliveries on request to the Al-Qaeda organization. The most startling allegation is that Nada's bank, Altaqua, appeared to be providing a clandestine line of credit for a close associate of bin Laden, according to the Wolf letter. This bin Laden lieutenant had a line of credit with a Middle East financial institution that drew on an identical account number at Bank Altaqua. Unlike other accounts, even accounts of private banking customers, this account was blocked by the computer system and special privileges were required to access it. Noting that identifiable names were associated with the account, the letter calls the circumstances surrounding the account highly unusual and suggests that they were created to conceal the association of the Bin Laden organization with Bank Al-Taqwa. A legal source familiar with the investigation into Al-Taqwa said that another U.S. intelligence document states that the Al-Taqwa account was originally set up for Mahmoud Salim, a one-time member of Al-Qaeda's governing Shura Council who was captured in Germany after the 1998 U.S. embassy bombings in Africa and has been awaiting trial while in prison in the United States ever since. Just last week, Salim was sentenced to 32 years in prison in a separate case stemming from charges that he stabbed a prison guard in the eye with a sharpened plastic comb as part of a failed plot with other accused Al-Qaeda co-defendants to break out of the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Lower Manhattan. The prison guard suffered brain damage, lost an eye, and is partially paralyzed as a result of the attack. After Salim's arrest, other Al-Qaeda figures continued to access the account, the legal source said. The Wolf letter also reveals for the first time that the government of Jordan had accused Bank Al-Taqwa of financing a terrorist network linked to Bin Laden that was involved in plotting terror attacks at Western and tourist targets in Jordan during the Millennium celebrations. Skipping down. In addition, the letter notes that one of Al-Taqwa's board members, Ahmed Huber, had confirmed that he had met with members of Bin Laden's organization in Beirut and had defended the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Huber, a notorious Swiss Holocaust denier and far-right activist, is described in the Wolf letter as having extreme anti-Israel views. The letter also states that another Al-Taqwa board member, Ahmed Idris Nasreddin, has supported an Islamic center in Milan that the U.S. government believes may be Al-Qaeda's most important base in Europe and which was linked to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, among other terror plots. Skipping down again, turning to the aforementioned Yassin Qadi, whom we dealt with in the Wall Street Journal article that I read about two items ago. The same goes for Qadi, a prominent Saudi businessman who, in a November 29, 2001 letter to the Swiss written by then Treasury General Counsel David Offhauser, is described as having a long history of financing and facilitating the activities of terrorists and terrorist-related organizations, often acting through seemingly legitimate charitable enterprises and businesses. Qadi was the founder of Muwafaq Foundation, an Islamic charity that employed or served as a cover for a number of Islamic extremists connected with Bin Laden and other terror groups, according to the Aufhauser letter. A lawyer for Qadi, whose assets have been blocked by the Treasury Department in the United States, said that the businessman is in the process of presenting evidence to U.S. officials challenging the allegations against him. U.S. counterterrorism officials have privately acknowledged their frustration in pursuing cases against both Al-Taqwa members and Qadi, as well as numerous other targets in terror finance investigations. Intelligence is one thing, but gathering the evidence to support these allegations is another story, said one former top U.S. law enforcement official who worked on terror finance cases. Still, the Justice Department is not done trying. In a recent court hearing, Gordon Cromberg, the senior federal prosecutor in charge of a long-running probe into Islamic charities based in Northern Virginia, including some whose directors have been associated with Nada and Qadi, said that his case was proceeding. "We expect them to be charged," Cromberg said in a court hearing, referring to the Islamic charities that have been targets of the investigation. "There will be indictments coming." Well, again, that last reference, again, is to the targets of the Operation Green Quest raids, and it is the milieu of those targets that connects the GOP and the Bush administration to Bank Al-Taqwa, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, and to the underground Reich. And bear in mind that the head of Bank Al-Taqwa, Youssef Nada, is not only intimate with European neo-fascist elements such as Ahmed Huber, but also worked for the Third Reich Intelligence Service, according to the book Dollars for Terror, and according to an article from the Asia Times, he actually helped the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, one of the top Axis spies in the Middle East, to escape from Germany at the end of World War II. Yousef Nada, an amazing link, at least amazing to a researcher in this field, an amazing link between the events of the past and the events of the present. One of the things that we've noted in the past is the extent to which many Islamic charities, including those supported by the Saudi government, also have doubled as funders of terror. That's also true to a certain extent of the Hamas organization, one of the Palestinian offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood. It does engage in sincere and, for the people in Palestine, valuable philanthropic and medical work. But on the other hand, it also is a notorious terrorist organization. So that's one of the things that makes the investigation and neutralization of some of these organizations very, very dicey, because they're sort of a two-headed organization, one of which is altogether legitimate, even benevolent, and the other of which is altogether sinister indeed. Another dichotomy I want to point out is the difference between intelligence information and what can be proved in a court of law under the judicial code of most countries. They are quite different, and that is also one of the stumbling points of the investigations into Operation Green Quest. I've alluded to Spitfire. That's a CD duplication service that stocks the various lectures and programs I've done over the years. You can reach Spitfire at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. You can reach him by email at mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. And please take advantage of the voluminous Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. There are lengthy descriptions of the programs that are available, probably a couple of thousand pages of documentation at this point. The Spitfire website also links to the WFMU websites that have the entire For the Record series, for all intents and purposes, on real audio. WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs. More recent programs are streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, DaveEmory. Older programs are available for download only at a longer URL. Link to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. As I said before, I often include information in the descriptions to the programs that I did not have time to put in the main body of the broadcast. There is now a search function on the Spitfire website, and be aware that the landmark text Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by the late heroic Paul Manning is now available for download for free from the Spitfire website. On that same page, there's the page from which you can download the book. There's also a good thumbnail description of the Bormann organization with a professional history of Paul Manning. That concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 461, update on September 11th and related matters. This is being recorded on May 23rd of 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.